A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizrael of Cherry Hill. Baruch Samach, Baruch 60a, pagination page 119. We have a Gemara here about improper tefillah, in that the tefillah is asking for a miracle to the point that it's improper to do that prayer. So we have, for example, the Mishnah mentions, if a person is coming into town, he hears the sirens, so to speak, he hears the screams coming from the city, you're not allowed to say at that point, I hope it's no one I know. Because it's too late. That's an improper tefillah. You may not be aware, but it's already a known fact in the world. And that would be asking for a miracle for everybody to have amnesia and to reverse the time. That doesn't work. That's not a proper tefillah. You could ask that everybody be cared for properly. I mean, there's solutions you could do. But you have to be careful not to live in fantasy world when you offer a prayer. So the Gemara here says, it's the third or fourth wide line, depending on which wide you count from. But at the end of a line, there's a two dots and then the word haisa. End of a line. Haisa. So the Gemara here says, Haisa ishta mu'uberes, if a person's wife is pregnant, va'amar, and he says, he ratzon, may it be Hashem's will, shetele, that she should give birth to a boy, to a girl. He's already deciding, but his already deciding is silly, because it's already been decided. He doesn't know, because the child's not visible to him. But in fact, by the time she's noticeably pregnant, it's already been decided whether it's a boy or a girl. And therefore, it's considered a tefillas shav, a worthless, improper prayer.
Unless it's less than 40 days.
Oh, so you're a Talmud Chacham already? But here's the Gemara. Now you're going to see it inside. Okay? Ask the Gemara, V'loma hani rachmi. It doesn't help to daven? Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked the following question, and take note that it's Rav Yosef who's speaking. It's a coincidence, but it's an intriguing coincidence. Va'achar Yolda Bas. And then Leah, the matriarch, gave birth to a daughter. Va'tikra Shema Dina. And she called her name Dina. That means that Leah already had the children that she had, and the last child she has is a girl. And she calls her Dina. My va'achar, what does it mean? And after this, that means there's like, you got to read between the lines. Something happened here. Amar Rav, Rav said, la'achar shadana leah din ba'atzma. Leah did a judgment in herself. She was critical of herself, of Amra, and she said, as much as I want to give birth to as many shvatim, children of Yaakov, as I possibly can. But she made a critical judgment of herself. She said, Yud Beis Shevatim Asidim Latzes Miyakov, there are 12 tribes that are going to come out of Yaakov. Apparently, if you knew Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, you knew that destiny. Shisha Yatzami, many 6 have already come from me. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zevulun are all from Leah. Ve'arba min Ashvachos, and there are 4 children already born from the maidservants when we upgraded them and invited them to be part of the matriarchs, the mothers of Klal Yisrael. Don, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher are those children. Harei Asara, the total count now is 10. Rachel, my sister, has not given birth to any children yet. Imze Zachar, if the child that I am bearing right now is going to be male, Lotehei Achosi, Rachel, Ka'achas, Hashvachos, Rachel will not even have the shear like the maidservants. She won't even have the chance to have 2 children of the 12. And that's what Leah thought. Miyadna afeches labas. And her prayer was able to impact, and the child was switched to a girl. Hmm. And she gives birth to a girl, which doesn't infringe on this destiny of the 12 tribes. And in fact, Rachel gives birth to Yosef and Binyamin.
So she knew that she was carrying a boy, right?
I don't know if she knew, but she knew it was possible that she's carrying a boy, and she realized that would be a problem. And she didn't like that problem. That's not fear to Rachel. Whatever that sensitivity is. Shenemar, Vatikra Eshema Dina, and that's the concept that she called her name Dina. because it was a result of a judgment, a critical analysis of herself, a judgment of herself that caused her to switch this child to be a girl. What's the question? The question is that Leah knew she was pregnant. That means it's a bit into the pregnancy. And she's able to switch it
by prayer.
By prayer. So apparently you could. Answers the Gemara, Ein maskirin maisen nisim. Don't bring here miracles of the matriarchs. That's a different league. Leah, Rachel, don't stick your head in there. That doesn't prove anything. But if you want, it could be that Leah happened during the first 40 days. In other words, it wasn't the way I made it out to be, that she was pregnant, that she thought this through. Maybe she knew exactly, right, if you assume a 30-day cycle and she realized she wasn't having her period, let's get very practical. It could be she realized she's pregnant and she realized the downside of this pregnancy, so she prayed for a girl. Kidatanya, as we learned. Shlosha yamim arishonim, the first 3 days, yivakesh adam rachamim, shlo yasriach, the first 3 days that it shouldn't spoil, the conception should occur. Mishlosha v'ad arbaim, for the first 40 days, yivakesh racham sheyeh zocha, you could still pray that it should be male. Me'arbam yamad shlosha chadoshim, until 3 months, yivakesh rachamim, shlo yeh sandal, that it shouldn't be the impression. Rashi says a fish by the name of sandal was the impression if the child wouldn't develop properly and would miscarry. So that was the expression, it shouldn't be a sandal. It shouldn't miscarry for 6 months. That's that prayer. Until the 9 months, the last 3 months is that the child should be born safely. So we see that the first 40 days you could actually pray for a change. And even though I know in bio class they teach that it's instantaneous, the X and Y chromosomes, etc., but we don't need proofs from science, but if we're trying to absorb this, it seems that even science understands that the conceptual material in the very beginning, those embryonic cells of the very beginning, are in flux.
Yeah, you told me about New York Times.
New York Times had an article, so this shouldn't even come as a surprise. Again, we want to be careful. If the Gemara says it, we don't need New York Times to prove anything. But just, this is not a foreign concept even to modern science. They've caught up, and they teach it with simplicity in ninth grade biology, but it's more sophisticated than that. And that's this whole thing with embryonic cells and all kinds of research, because they know that those cells are very adaptable to different situations, trying to treat Alzheimer's, all kinds of things coming from those initial cells. Ask the Gemara, Umi Mahani Rachmi, does mercy help? Does tefillah help? We have a tradition that it depends who's Mazriya Tehillah, if the man gives first or the woman gives first. And the Gemara answers very simply, that they both produced at the same time. I wanted to comment over here that the simple read of this Gemara is that the conceptual material is what changed when it went from being a boy to a girl. So the destiny of Leah was to have another boy, but that original material switched and it developed as a girl instead. Okay. There's a Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, which is a commentary of translation almost, except occasionally it's commentary, which is printed in the Makros Gedolos, a very famous Yonasan Ben Uziel. And on this pasuk that Leah is having the girl, Dina, the words of the Targum Yonasan, I penciled it into the margin of my Gemara, I'll translate it for you. The ichlifu uvraya b'me'ehon, the fetus of one was switched with the fetus of the other. That means he's assuming that Rachel was pregnant at the same time and it was just unclear who was going to have the boy. V'hava yoyev Yosef b'm'aha d'Rachel, and Yosef was placed in the womb of Rachel. V'dina b'ma'aha d'Leah, and Dina was moved to the womb of Leah. In other words, this miracle that's described here, according to Yonos and Ben Uziel, was a lot more than just the original fetal tissue or something, or materials before tissue was developing in a certain way. This is, they actually switched the fetus from one to the other. Miracle. I don't know how many angels you need. I know approximately how many people you need to move a house. House movers, you know, they come in with a team of people and they move a house from one location to the other. I don't know how many angels it takes to move a fetus from one womb to the other. But, according to Targum Yonos and Ben Uziel, what we're saying is that the fetus was switched. This is a very popular source regarding surrogate motherhood. What would happen... Right now, surrogate motherhood means you bring till birth. They don't know how to switch. But let's say they would develop an ability to switch the child in utero while the pregnancy is occurring from one womb to the other. Would that halachically mean that the new host mother, presumably the real desired mother, the one everybody would love to call the real mother, would that be... but wasn't able to conceive, would that be called the true mother halachically?
Hmm.
Would that be binding? According to this, yes. Because Yosef is clearly Rachel's son, and Dina is clearly Leah's daughter, and according to Targum Yonos and Ben Uziel, it was switched after the start. And this is an addition to the enormous literature regarding these types of things, transplant of ovaries or transplant simply of genetic material, the eggs, etc. Who is the mother? This Targum Yonos and Ben Uziel, even if we don't consider it definitive and binding because the Gemara clearly is not learning the case in that way, but it is certainly a phenomenal addition to that literature in clarifying how the halacha should be dealt with. Yashar koach, have a wonderful day.